Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
And welcome, welcome to another episode of Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. My name is Dan Hurst, and we have been, as you've been listening for a while, I hope, we were just looking at all of those elements of revitalizing your church and replanting your church and how you can go through the process and what are some of the pitfalls that you have to watch for and some of the things that trip you up and what are some of the things that you can do and how to get honest in your ministry. And we appreciate your questions and your comments. Please leave those, and we want you to be a part of what we do on a regular basis. Today, Mark, we're talking about, we're continuing in a series of, we've been talking about Flickering Lamps, which was by Henry and Richard Blackaby.
Right.
And today, we're going to get into this idea of God's power.
Yeah, Christ's power in His church. Flickering Lamps, I mean, you got to get the book. Go to Blackaby Ministries International, get the book. There's also a video series that goes with it. Probably the best part of the book is actually the introduction.
Really?
Because I wrote it.
Oh
anyway. Anyway, no, it's an awesome book, and it really does talk about Revelation 1 and Christ's presence in the church. He walks among the lampstands and so on. But it just what you want to do, people always say, how do we get started in revitalization? I need something to introduce my church. This is it, because it helps people understand the church belongs to Christ, not to them. And He has a plan for their church, and they need to understand what His plan is. So in the previous episodes, we began with where the book began. So you can go back and listen to them. We began with Christ's purpose in His church, Christ's plan for His church, Christ's presence in His church, and today, Christ's power in His church.
Let me ask you, if you're not seeing any evidence of God's power in your church, are you looking in the wrong place, or is that where you begin, that there is no power?
Oh, I think, unfortunately, that may be where you begin. I mean, really, how many times we walked into a church, again, using Henry Blackaby, if your church dies, did it follow Jesus into the grave? I mean, where Christ is, there is power.
Mm-hmm.
And there just is. And if Christ is not there, if His presence is not felt, if He's not preeminent in your church. Now, back up. Jesus is always among His church. God is always everywhere at all times. But if we're quenching Him, you remember when Jesus was in the Galilee area, He was healing people and feeding people and raising the dead and doing all these amazing miracles and calming the storm. And then he goes to His hometown and He begins to teach in His home country. And the people are like, yeah, who is this? And, you know, at one point they're going to throw Him off a cliff. And the scripture says He could do no great miracle there. It doesn't mean He couldn't. He wasn't prevented, but their faith, their lack of faith, their critical attitude, he really chose to just do no more miracles there. And so I think when you look at a church where Christ's presence isn't evident, it says something about the people, not about Christ.
Mm.
It's not that He hasn't shown up. It's not that He doesn't know where that church is or He doesn't care about that church. It's that there's something going on in the lives of the people in that church that is quenching the Spirit of God moving in that church. That's the only way you can look at it. And I don't think churches often frame it in that way. They we always want revival. We talk about revival all the time. And by the way, I know I talk about Blackaby all the time. Richard, I love him, you know, and he says, you know, I told him I probably wouldn't have a job if I couldn't quote the Blackabys. But and he goes back, years ago, I lived in Atlanta. I used to work at the Home Mission Board. And Henry, when he first came to Atlanta, we came about the same time. He moved into my neighborhood. I mean, you know, you got Henry Blackaby living in your cul-de-sac when you're 28 years old. He does have an influence on you, right? And so, yeah, Henry has a wonderful little clip you can find on YouTube called Why Revival Tarries. Why Does It Wait? And we all pray we want revival, but revival, a spiritual awakening happens when we as believers just turn our back on sin.
Mm-hmm.
Not when we just repent of it, but when we detest it, when we don't want to go near it anymore. We find no joy in it. And I got to tell you, I know we're Southern Baptist and, you know, we don't smoke, drink, or chew, or dance, and, you know. But dude, we have become so tainted by the world.
Mm.
I look at Twitter posts and Facebook posts of pastors, and so many things we talk about are really worldly things, and I have to be careful about that. I'm thinking about movies that I've seen, television shows that I've watched, and I quote them, and they're funny, and they're humorous, and there'll be a really funny line from it, and it's fun to kind of quote those funny lines. But then I realize there's other stuff in that movie that is just absolutely ungodly, mm-hmm. absolutely sinful. And look, I'm not being some sort of a legalistic person here trying to tell you, you know, don't ever watch TV, don't ever go to movies or anything like that. And legalism, there's no joy in legalism. But I really think one of the reasons Christ isn't present in his church, it means he's not really, his power is not really felt in us. And I think it's because we're just still like the world a little bit.
Mm.
We're enticed by the things of this world. And they're enjoyable to a degree, and they're fun to a degree. And I really think in order for Christ to be truly present in his church, this is it. People have to deeply desire holiness. And it's not a word we talk about much anymore. And it's a very common thing to say, we don't drift toward holiness. You know, we drift the other way. And again, for all the talk about spiritual awakening, we want to pray for revival. You know, how anxious are we to say, yeah, that's a funny movie, and those are funny lines from a TV show, but ultimately, everybody in that TV show sleeps with somebody they're not married with. You know, that funny line in that movie also takes the Lord's name in vain, you know, dozens of times. Why am I quoting that movie? Why do I find that entertaining?
Hmm.
Why do I find that a sense of joy?
You know, one of the things that I've discovered in my own life is that along this idea of holiness, that God has called us to holiness. But in my time of confession of sin, which I need to spend a lot of time doing, it seems like, I have found that it's not just forgive me for my sin, but it's cleanse me
right
from all unrighteousness. And boy, those two things, the holiness and the cleansing, those are not human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't like those things.
Right.
Let's step in real quick and do something here because
Mark Halleck
just from Denver.
Hey guys,
he just landed.
From Denver,
it's unbelievable.
Colorado.
We're in Kansas City. Mark's been here for a long time. He was just in the Spurgeon Library out there looking at Spurgeon's
books.
Guys,
this place is unbelievable.
It is.
Did you get a library card?
I can't. I
want one. Spurgeon
Library
card. Gee whiz.
Yeah, sorry, I got distracted. Yeah.
But Mark is sort of our regular guest, and he's the pastor of the Calvary Church in Englewood. Mark, we are talking about Christ's presence in his church and the fact that he is always there.
Yes.
But we don't realize that presence, and that presence doesn't have its full power if we quench that with sin.
Mm.
And the reason spiritual awakening doesn't come, I believe, and Henry Blackaby speaks about this, is that because believers aren't ready to really seek holiness. We
wow.
still
yeah.
we find some enjoyment in sin.
Yeah.
Now, we may be ready to repent from sin, but it doesn't mean you want to get to the place where in sin, and it's so hard to do, and I have to battle it daily, but I want to be at a place where I don't even want to go near it.
Yes.
I want to get to the place where I'm detested
yes.
by sin.
Yes, yes.
I'm revulsed by sin.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
And I've got to tell you, a lot of times it's not there. I'm enjoying some of the stuff.
That's right. There. The flesh loves it. Listen. John Owen, one of the great Puritans, wrote a lot on the mortification of the flesh, which sounds pretty intimidating, you know.
But that's exactly
what
we're talking
about.
So if you want Christ's presence in your
yes.
church, talk about John Owen. And
yeah, I mean, here's what Owen says, and I think this is true for all of us. And Dan, I agree. I mean, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil want to kill us. We have three enemies all the time. We forget that. We can look at the world and say, well, they're messed up. That's true. The devil's coming after me, that's true. But you know what? Your flesh wants to destroy you. And so what Owen says, you got to get violent with sin. This is not a hobby. This isn't cute. What we've done, even in the evangelical church, is we have become very soft on sin. Now, as soon as I say that, some people may say, this guy sounds like a legalist.
Yeah, before you got in here, that's what I said.
You know what I mean?
As soon as you
yeah.
start talking about movies you shouldn't watch,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
They church you off and go, he's
just
a legalist.
Yeah. And what I would say is two things to that. That is a lie right there, because here's what we know. about holiness from the scriptures is that when we pursue, first of all, it's who we are now. If you've been reborn in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And you are now remade to live a life of holiness. So one, it's your joy is found in pursuing a holy life. And the flip side of that is God is glorified in your holy life. Those two things are not a duty. That's a delight. That's who we are now. And so again, if you want a congregation where the Lord Jesus is moving in power through his Spirit, holiness will have to be present. Because where there is darkness, the light is, you know, again, the Spirit is quenched. And so in some ways, what we need to be honest about and what we're talking about here is how much do you really hate your sin?
There you go.
How much do you really hate your sin? I mean, Jesus had a lot to say about it.
Right.
He raised the stakes on all of it, if we're going to be honest. It's one thing to commit adultery. It's another to think lustfully about a woman.
Right.
And there, you know, so cut out your eyeball.
Right.
I mean, Jesus was pretty violent
right.
when it came to this stuff. And so I think, again, this is weighty and it's serious, but it needs to be because the world, the flesh, and the devil want to kill us. They want to send these churches to the ground. They want to crush your people. And so we got it. We're going to war in that sense.
And we have a lot of fun on these podcasts. And I want us to obviously continue to do that. But this is a place where it takes a very serious turn because a dying church, more than anything else, needs the presence of the risen Savior.
Amen. That's right.
And it's not because he doesn't want to be there or he can't be there. The real hard truth is our sin prevents, as I was telling Dan just before you walked in, when Jesus was performing miracles around Galilee, doing all kinds of things, raising the dead, feeding the thousands, walking on the water, goes to his hometown, what? Could do no great miracle there.
Mm.
Not because he didn't have the power,
yeah.
but because of their unbelief,
right.
he could do
right.
no great miracle.
Yeah.
Is that your church?
Yeah.
Because of your unbelief, he does no great work there? Is that, if that, it's not his issue, it's our issue, and it's an issue of sin, and
yes.
and it has to be, as you said, the mortification of sin. It has
yeah.
to be the
yeah.
hatred of sin, the realization that sin ultimately destroys. You know, my dad, I love, he's a great pastor, and I remember one time asking him a question about when Jesus cast the demons into the swine, you know, and they ran off into the sea. The obvious question is, well, that's a weird-looking thing to do. Why did he do that? And, you know, the Scripture doesn't tell us why, but I think my dad said, well, for one thing, Mark, it is a picture that whatever sin enters, it destroys.
Hmm.
And I've never forgotten that, you know.
Wow.
And we just got to remember that. You know, we'll take go to such extremes to make sure we don't get any viruses on our computer or our handheld devices, right?
Yeah.
Because we know, man, just one little thing in there. You know, if I just click on this one email from this Nigerian prince, what
yeah.
could possibly
yeah.
go wrong?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it was sin. It's like, well, what could really go wrong? And that brings up something totally else. And you can talk about this because you raise up leaders all the time and guys in your church. When Dan and I were young men, you know, if we wanted to do something, if we wanted to look pornography, we wanted
yeah.
to do something in adult-oriented entertainment,
yeah.
we'd have to go to the worst part of the town.
Right.
Yeah, no internet.
No internet. We had to go to the worst part of the town
yeah.
and risk our lives,
yep.
you know, and
yep.
go to this really you know, and it was a major deal. Now it's in your hand.
Oh, man.
And
24/7.
And it's just constant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it doesn't matter. I'm always hearing that from men
yeah.
and from their wives.
Yeah.
This is constant. The
yeah.
adversary is. So talk a little bit about
from
the standpoint that your experience with young men and leaders.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a couple of things I would say. One, and maybe you guys mentioned this before I came. You know, I think of 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins to the Lord, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So what we know is as we're talking about mortifying the flesh and killing sin, the truth is the power to do that is only through the risen Christ. I mean, it's only through that. And by living what Jerry Bridges would call, you know, gospel-empowered holiness. Like it's rooted in the gospel of grace that actually spurs us on. It's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance, right?
Right.
And so we've got to remember that. This comes from the power of the Spirit. But getting back to your question, I mean, here's what I would just shoot straight with you guys. I mean, our generation, even me, I mean, I'm 46, so I'm younger than you guys. But, like, the internet wasn't really even a thing till I was in college.
Right.
So, like, I didn't grow up looking at pornography. It wasn't even, you know, the internet wasn't there. And I thank God for that.
Right.
You know what I mean? But what I would say, especially with younger generations, is I go back to what I said a few moments ago, is you have to be resolved that if Jesus is your greatest treasure and you are seeking to live for the glory of God, you will do whatever it takes to kill flesh, which means don't try to convince me you need to even have a phone. Okay, that sounds pretty radical. Mm-hmm. But like you'll say, well, listen, I mean, I got to have a phone. I mean, it's got my calendar and I use it as a shepherd. Listen, your soul is what is most important.
Right.
So if you get rid of the get a stinking, you know, flip one of those phone. Old flip phones, do what it takes.
Yeah.
Don't have the internet at your house.
Right.
I mean, are you that serious about it? Right. I mean, that's literally, if this is an issue, it will take you down. It will take your marriage down. It will crush your children. Guys, listen, we cannot play games with this. We have seen pastor after pastor, leader after leader fall into sexual sin. And again, I'm not just trying to give a pep talk. I'm just saying we've got to approach sin with that kind of urgency to kill it. And we need other men around us who want to kill it too.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right.
You can't just do this by yourself. You need brothers. And this is more than just an accountability partner, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's become kind of a joke. Listen,
yeah.
Well, I've got software. Listen.
Yeah.
Dude.
You can get around the software.
You can get around software. Yeah. So it really comes down to the heart. It comes to, do you believe that the joy of the Lord, that Jesus is better than any pornography will ever be? Are you pursuing your joy in Him, or are you settling for lesser joys and idols, you know, namely sexual sin, whatever form it takes? But I'm really glad we're talking about this, Mark, because this really is so important.
And when we talk about Christ's power in His church, it's only going to be there when people are repentant of their sin and seek holiness, and it begins with the pastors. When I was at Warnell, I had a young man named Kumar Venugopal from India, a new convert. He called me and said, hey, I'd like to meet you at church, and we spend some time in prayer together. I've been a pastor for a long time. Frankly, I haven't had that many people ever ask me that question. I said, sure. He wanted to meet like at 9 or 10 at night after he put his family to bed. So I met with him, and I'll never forget. He said, let's go in the sanctuary to pray. Okay. So we're in the sanctuary on the front row. He said, I'd like to meet, if we could, every Thursday night at this hour. He said, and I would like to, and this is a young Christian.
Yeah.
Raised in the Hindu world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would like us, let's don't pray for the church or for the community. Let's pray for ourselves that you and I would pursue holiness.
Mm.
He said, I believe if we pursue holiness, it will have an effect on the rest of the congregation. This is a new believer,
wow.
Right?
Wow.
I couldn't have said that any better. Yeah. It's what we're talking about here. Yeah. You want Christ's power in your church, it begins with the pastor seeking holiness.
That's right.
And stop living in a world. Look, I know I'm going to get in trouble here. Because, you know, you want to be contextual and all that. But whenever, like, the Academy, the awards come up, the Oscars or the Emmys, and those award shows are on, or the music award shows, and I see pastors, you know, kind of tweeting about that thing, I go, what in the world are you watching that thing for? What possible edification could that have for your soul? And I just can't imagine Martin Lloyd-Jones going, man, I can't wait till the Oscars come on, you know. He had other things on his mind.
Yeah.
And so, again, I really believe we want revival. We want Christ's power in our church.
Yes.
It begins, Pastor. And it's not easy. I battle daily
the
sin in my
life.
We all do. Daily I battle it. And I don't, you know, it's a hard battle, but it's worth fighting. Paul didn't say, I sang the good song, I walked the good walk, I danced the good dance. He said, I fought the good fight.
Yeah.
So, holiness.
Jerry Bridges' book, The Pursuit of Holiness, is a classic that I read back in college, and I've read multiple times since, every few years. I would say that's a book I'd recommend. Another book by Brian Chappell called Holiness by Grace is an excellent resource in terms of, again, a gospel-centered approach to pursuing holiness. This isn't just white-knuckling
it. Not legalism.
I can do
legalism.
It. This is not legalism.
Legalism does not work.
It's fighting by the power of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There are right and wrong ways to fight sin. We want to fight sin in a biblical and Christian way. And those are two resources that are helpful beyond, obviously, the Word of God itself.
Right.
But absolutely.
So you'll know His power in your church by a few things, and we'll do these real quick. One of them is, are there people in your church who are volunteering and wanting to serve? Now, look, I hear all the time, and I'm not trying to lay coals on your head. I don't want to make you feel bad, but I hear it all the time. We don't have anybody volunteering. We don't have any leader. We don't have anybody do anything. People won't volunteer to do anything. Listen, if Christ's power is in your church, they will volunteer. They'll want to serve. I was in a meeting not long ago with a group of pastors, and this dear pastor asked Richard, told Richard Blackaby, they said, "Richard, I've been at this church for 9 years, and there's nobody volunteer. Nobody will do anything. I can't find anybody to do anything. What do you do when you can't find any volunteers? You can't find anybody to do anything?" And immediately Richard said, "It is your job to reach people, to develop people, and to turn them into leaders. And if you don't know how to do that, you can't be a pastor." But he said, "Brother, you can learn how to do that. Yeah. Christ can teach you how to do that. He can show you how to do that. But you've got to understand that is your job to raise up leaders. And if the power of Christ is in someone's life, they'll want to serve."
That's right.
If they don't want to serve, there's a problem there. So, I mean, you look at a church and you go, nobody wants to do anything. Well, the power of Christ isn't being made evident there. No one has any joy. Well, the power of Christ isn't made evident there. And so it's really important to say Christ's power changes everything. But as you said, it begins with a desire for holiness and to get rid of our sin. I love this quote I put out by Martin Lloyd-Jones online the other day. It said, when the church does not reflect the world, it attracts the world. You know, and I just think when we stand in total contrast to the world, then we attract the world.
Yes, that's right.
And our holiness—it's not an egocentric. Yeah. We're better than you are.
No,
it's that we desire something different than the stuff this world has to
offer. Right. We're aliens, man. We're aliens.
Well, and realizing that it was our sin that killed our Christ.
That's right.
So how can I embrace my sin if, you know, I have to detest it just simply because it killed my Christ?
Amen. Right. You know? Boy, that's true.
Well, we've been talking about this idea of discovering, well, we talked about flickering lamps, and the series continues in our next episode as we'll talk more about how do you discover God's provision in your church.
Yeah, that's a big one.
How do you know that God is enough, and when is enough enough? And we'll talk about that in our next episode. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Please take time to click that little button there and let folks know that you like what you're hearing and that you're participating in it. Let folks know what's going on, and thank you so much to the North American Mission Board for your work in making this possible. We love you guys, and we're deeply appreciative. And also to Kyle, our producer, who's are you done with that game yet?
We love you, Kyle. Okay. You're the best, man.
And it is the North American Mission Board.
I know North American.
It's the North American Mission Board.
I know it as Home Mission Board.
It's the North American Mission Board. All right, we're good.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.